So I began making Solstice back in 2018, and that was when I connected with a family in my hometown, Albury, which is where I'm based on the New South Wales Vic border. And they lost their daughter to suicide back in 2011. She was 15 years old. And their journey to losing her was a large part of that journey was not being able to get the help that she needed, the right help that she needed, right mental health supports. And then once Mary took her life, they then found themselves very isolated. The stigma, the fear around death and suicide, death particularly, kind of overtook the way people interacted with them. So they refused to accept that, and they instead then went on this journey of creating a space within our hometown where people can come and talk about mental health and suicide and the grief of suicide in a safe and accepting space. And it's really created this unique, quite incredible event that happens on the longest night of the year, on the winter solstice. And then from there, they've just expanded out to just reach out to anyone who will journey with them to break that horrible, heartbreaking silence that surrounds suicide loss and also mental health, unfortunately, still. I began documenting that way back when we had no budget, really wasn't sure what the film was even about. You know, was it about youth suicide? Was it about mental health and the system? As time went on, what I discovered was the voices that were at the fore, like on the front line of trying to create that change in the mental health system, were often people who had lost someone to suicide. So people who I think know too intimately the true cost of a failed mental health system, and those that they're the ones that are left behind when we lose someone.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because people live in a security bubble, which they're unaware of until something quite tragic happens to them. And then there's a sense that you're looking in to the world that other people live in. But then, of course, that kind of tragedy happens to many people.
Yeah, it does. And that's the thing. It's Stuart, Mary's father, says before Mary became ill, they had an idyllic life, an idyllic family life. You know, they're well known within our community, they're well respected, they're well educated, well resourced, they had a comfortable life. And the other thing then that, you know, Annette, Mary's mother, says she doubts now from where they are that there's no one who would not know someone who struggled with mental health or has lost someone to suicide. So we are all touched by it in varying degrees. It's very, very common. Yeah.
In Mary's case, she actually did, she left breadcrumbs as to her sense of deep depression. Part of the film really investigates how badly our system support a person in her position.
Yes, and you know, I like that phrase that you use, breadcrumbs, because she did. She was a 15-year-old girl who'd been struggling with an eating disorder for 3 years, a very misunderstood, very serious illness. And she used her writing and she tried really hard. And as they say, she was very compliant. She tried to do all the right things. She was just given completely the wrong treatment because there's so little understanding around that. And there are so many other people who this film touches on that didn't even leave breadcrumbs. They were screaming for help and just didn't get any as well. Yeah.
Stuart and Annette are actually leading community members in their community. I mean, he was the mayor. These are people who have agency. Because they're the type of people that they are, they had to turn this into something that was more positive. So tell us about the solstice event. That was a really big public statement, wasn't it?
Yeah, and just to take a step back from that in the film, you know, just after Mary had died, they made another very big public statement and they held Mary's funeral in our town square, in our main square, in the centre of on our main street. So I think they were already the people who were not going to be silent. They were already the people that were in a strong enough position to be able to do that as well, in terms of their standing in the community. And they're just their sheer determination. That's who they are. That's their nature as well. There's a poignancy that the very same ground on where they held Mary's funeral is the ground where we gather every year to remember people who have been lost by suicide. And this event has grown over the, well, we just had the 11th one last month. We have thousands of people who come into this dark, cold, open space. There are fires dotted around, which, you know, if you're very clever, you get there early so you get close to a fire because it's damn cold. It's a unique space where I see people crying and laughing and hugging and knowing they're in a safe space. It's a very rare space. I've observed that, you know, we certainly are afraid of talking about grief and loss. But if you overlay that with loss through suicide, it just adds a whole other dimension to the awkwardness and the fear around discussing it openly. And in this square on this night, that's exactly what happens. So it's very precious and very special.
Having been brought up in a country town which is of similar size to Albury, I find this a fascinating experience as well, because it gives a completely different dimension from a city experience, doesn't it? One of the things about cities is it allows distance, while in a country community, it actually has greater proximity. And so when you're dealing with something of this nature, the gossip chain in a country town is quite an extraordinary affair, really.
Okay, yes, I see where you're coming from, and absolutely, I agree. There are people who are not able to go for that very reason, that sense of being exposed in a community that will know them. Yeah, for sure. What is kind of interesting, though, is, you know, in one part of the film near to the end, the story goes to Corryong, where sadly there have been several lives lost to suicide following the Black Summer fires. And last year they held their own version of a winter solstice. So we're talking a very, very small village size where everybody does literally know everybody. And they held their own small version of a winter solstice up there as a response to those suicides. And I attended that and I saw people standing back on the fringes, similar to what they do in Albury. And then gradually as time comes on, they just come in as they realise it's safe and it's okay. So that was really heartening to see that it can even happen in like a tiny village as well. So, yeah, I think it's definitely possible to happen in a city.
Well, you know, solstice is a really fascinating time to choose as well, because it has its, it's the shortest period of the year. It has a very strong human-hearted, centred element to it, doesn't it, that part of the year, really?
Yeah, for sure. And the symbolism around the journey through a mental illness to a place where you're well is symbolised so well by that, you know, that longest night. It's dark for something like 14 hours that night, or even longer. And so I think there's a strength of symbolism in that. And I love that weaves actually personally into the Baker's story, in terms of that's always been a symbol for them. They're very active outdoor family, so they crave the light to be in. So, yeah, it's a beautiful marriage of those two, that both that personal and public symbolism.
Yeah, I was really taken by the fact that the film then went international. I love that museum in London. That was such a fabulous concept.
And truly, that was me just following Annette and Stuart, and they will go to the ends of the earth to do what they think will create change. And so, yeah, they went to London to be part of this international movement, which they are connected to. That's a global movement to try and challenge the way, at a policy level, how mental health is supported and legislated. I think for me, when they went to London, it was a wonderful turn in the story for me to take it to that broader level.
But it was so touching, because the museum actually honoured Mary's existence. I thought that was just so touching.
Yeah, and I know, you know, when Stuart says as they're heading off, I don't know how I'll feel about all the other speakers speaking and Mary's speaker being on silent, because she was the only person represented in that museum who had taken her life. Everyone else had struggled with their mental illness but was still alive, and many of them were in that room. But Annette and Stuart was were Mary's representatives there. So, you know, the sheer bravery that they face each time they put themselves into a public space like that, I just have so much admiration for that.
You are going to be at the Melbourne Documentary Film Festival, and it's going to be a Q&A. So that's a pretty interesting thing for another example of public exposure.
Yes, yes, it is. And Stuart, Mary's dad, will also be part of that Q&A. And, you know, again, that's just, I have so much respect for the way that they journey through this, willing to expose themselves, and often afterwards going, you know, if one person, if it helps one person, that makes it worthwhile.